Quite a day for the Red Sox at the winter meetings down in Maryland. To find out more, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Tim, good afternoon.
How's it going, Rich? Not too much going on so far with the Red Sox, right?
No, just a light day for them. Dave Dombrowski, we knew he knew how to get things done and make deals, and he certainly did it today. And let's start, obviously, with the big one. Chris Sale joins a Red Sox rotation, and as somebody pointed out on social media, so this year's Cy Young Award winner may be the third best starter on his own team.
Yeah, I mean, this is a trade that's very much in Dave Dombrowski's track record of pulling off things like this. This is the first really surprising move he's made as the president of baseball operations for the Red Sox. You know, last winter, he kind of laid out what he wanted and went out and did it. This year, he made a point of saying he didn't think they needed to add to the starting rotation after they got Drew Pomeranz back in July, and over the second half of the year had the best rotation ERA in the American League. But a guy like Chris Sale is only available, you know, maybe once every 8 to 10 years. A guy, I saw Rob Bradford from WEEI writing, this is different even than the trades for guys like Pedro Martinez and Josh Beckett and Curt Schilling, because those guys were either older or only had a year or two of control left. You've got Chris Sale for 3 years. He's been a top six finisher in the AL Cy Young balloting each of his five full seasons in the major leagues as a starter, and the cost you gave up for him certainly wasn't what I expected it to be. I thought you were going to have to throw in someone with a little bit of major league experience, someone like an Eduardo Rodriguez or an Andrew Benintendi. I know back in July the talk was Jackie Bradley Jr., the Red Sox got this done with Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech as the big pieces, which, yeah, you're giving up a lot. Those are two of your top four prospects. Moncada is arguably the game's top prospect overall, but you don't hurt your major league roster too much going into next season, and you get one of the two or three best pitchers in baseball in return.
So was the market not quite what the White Sox thought it would be? Because, again, it seems like the Red Sox are paying much less than they might have had to at the trade deadline last summer.
Well, I think maybe what the White Sox have decided is instead of getting that talent that's major league ready necessarily to turn their sights a little bit further down the road in terms of their contention window. You know, if you're just dealing Chris Sale, maybe you're thinking of a Bradley or Benintendi or guys who are ready to be major league contributors right now. Whereas if you're thinking of kind of going into a full scale rebuilding mode, which they might do now with guys like Todd Frazier or Jose Abreu, then you start to look down the line to, okay, 2019, 2020 are the years we want to be more competitive, and that's when Moncada and Kopech, especially Kopech, become more appealing to you. Last night we're reading about the Nationals being close on a deal potentially, and just looking at the players involved there, it was kind of a similar type package. It was going to be a guy like Lucas Giolito, who's one of the top pitching prospects in baseball, and an outfielder, Victor Robles, who's, you know, a top 15 type prospect in baseball, but guys who aren't ready to step in on opening day. So it seemed like they had turned their sights a little bit further into the future, and that probably made this a lot more palatable for the Red Sox to pursue.
Now, the Red Sox also have to include some money to offset the cost of Moncada. Is that right?
Well, so this is what I'm not sure on. You know, it's not a contract for Moncada. It's a signing bonus. It's $31.5 million, and they've already paid a significant portion of that to him, and the rest goes in installments, I believe. So I don't know if it's even possible for the Red Sox to trade that financial commitment to Chicago because it's a signing bonus. It's not that they're paying him for playing for them coming up. So I was under the assumption all along that was what was that, you know, the Red Sox were going to be paying that completely, even if they traded Moncada at any point. So I don't know if it's even possible for Chicago to take on that financial commitment. So, yeah, the Red Sox, they're on the hook for the entire $63 million. But I think that was always going to be the case.
Now, had they not made the Sale trade, it still would have been a pretty good day for the Sox because earlier in the day, they shipped Travis Shaw and a couple of minor leaguers to the Milwaukee Brewers for an outstanding reliever in Tyler Thornburg, a guy who had 90 strikeouts in 67 innings, and they seem to be following that Kansas City Royals model of building up a very strong back of the pen.
Yeah, now this was a move that we could see coming a little bit more, and it's really in the mold of the Carson Smith trade they made last year. Thornburg is very much like Smith, and I know Red Sox fans might want to hear that because they only saw Smith for 2 2/3 innings last year. Mm. But Thornburg is a similar, you know, a young reliever coming off a really good season for an under-the-radar team in Milwaukee where he took over the closer's role after the trade deadline, after they dealt Jeremy Jeffress I think he saved 12 or 13 games down the stretch, strikes out more than a batter per inning, really a whiff under one, a guy they can control now for the next three seasons at a reasonable cost. He should, you know, he's entering arbitration for the first time, so he should cost about two, maybe a little over $2 million next year. And when you look at the free agent market for relievers, certainly we saw Mark Melancon get more than $60 million, and Brett Cecil get more than $30 million. And that's not to say what Aroldis Chapman and Kenley Jansen are going to get. That this is a way to fix that back end of the bullpen. They've been looking for an eighth inning guy, and now they have one with closer experience who's relatively inexpensive. So if they do want to get under the luxury tax thresholds for next year, which is something Nebraska mentioned yesterday, they got a shot at it now in a way they didn't coming into the day.
And what does that mean for Koji Uehara?
It means that he's probably looking elsewhere for next season. You know, Dombrowski was a bit colder on the idea of bringing Uehara back than I expected at the start of the winter, because they looked at their bullpen. They saw, you know, there's only really room to add the one arm because everyone else in that bullpen, you don't have options to send guys back and forth. So if you re-sign Uehara at this point, it's probably bumping a guy like Heath Hembree out of your major league bullpen. And you can't just send him down to AAA. You've got to expose him to waivers, which means he probably gets claimed by another team. And when you're trying to do that for a 42-year-old whose durability is obviously in question after missing some time last year and having an up-and-down season, not being available for back-to-back days or more than three outs at the end of the season, I think they looked at, if we're going to add one arm, let's add someone who's a little bit more flexible in the back end of the bullpen.
We're talking with Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Again, the Red Sox picking up Chris Sale from the White Sox today. Tyler Thornburg from the Brewers. Now, early on, when the trade went out, and I saw reports of people saying, well, that means they're leaning towards Sandoval. And I held out hope. I said to myself, yeah, maybe they're impressed with Moncada, and they think they can put him at third. But now the options appear to be Pablo Sandoval or Pablo Sandoval at third. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, I mean, clearly trading Shaw suggested they had some faith in Sandoval, and then trading Moncada just reiterated that point over the course of the day. They've said all the right things about Sandoval since really the end of the season, since late September when they saw him in Tampa, when he came up to visit them. They've been impressed by what he's done. And, you know, I think it's reasonable for people in New England to be skeptical of Pablo Sandoval after the 2 years he's had with this club. But you look at what happened with Hanley Ramirez turning things around. You know, we were all skeptical about him last year going in to the season as the first baseman. You go even farther back to what John Lackey did after he missed the season. I think the optimistic fan looks at the John Lackey mold and says, okay, he had a bad season, was out for a year, came back and was a really important contributor to a good team. Maybe Sandoval can follow that mold. You've got Brock Holt as kind of a backup plan at third in case things go awry there. But they are, at this point in time, you know, Pablo Sandoval looks like he's going to be their opening day third baseman. And that's maybe something that a lot of fans aren't too happy about.
Now, also, their name was attached to Mitch Moreland a little bit early in the day. I know they'd like to get another left-handed bat. Is Moreland still a possibility? And where are they now financially after these deals?
Yeah, Moreland would seem to be kind of the low-cost, maybe uninspiring addition there. As a corner infielder, you know, he's a guy who won the Gold Glove at first base, a very good defensive first baseman, has been a little bit boom or bust with the bat the last couple of years. This past season had an on-base percentage below 300. Does have some power from the left side. I think they like the left-handed portion of the bat. But, you know, maybe that would signal more him as a full-time first baseman and Hanley Ramirez playing DH more often. Probably not full-time, but, you know, bouncing around a little bit, but being DH more often than first base. There's probably some other names that are out there that Red Sox fans would be more excited about, clearly Edwin Encarnacion. But it sounds like they're looking more at that low, that middle tier of additions. A guy like Moreland, maybe Pedro Alvarez would be more of a DH type, played with the Orioles last year. And particularly from the left side, Dombrowski said, they're looking for a lefty first base type, specifically now in a way they weren't coming into the day.
Well, quite a day indeed at the winter meetings down in Maryland. Tim Britton, as always, good talking with you. Thanks for coming on at late notice and helping us make sense of everything that happened.
Oh, anytime, Rich. Thank you.
Tim Britton talking Sox on Downtown, our Red Sox reports, brought to you by our friends at Gagan's Pub and Craft Brewery, Main Street in downtown Bangor.